Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
At the UPS Store, we know things can get busy this upcoming holiday. You can count on us to be open and ready to help with any packing and shipping or anything else you might need.
Is there anything you can't do?
Actually, I don't have a good singing voice. The UPS... Nope. But our certified packing experts can pack and ship just about anything.
At least that's good.
The UPS Store. Be unstoppable. Most locations are independently owned. Product, services, pricing, and hours of operation may vary. See center for details. Come in today to get your holiday goodies there on time.
You've reached the Every Little Thing helpline. Please leave your message after the tone.
Hi, my name is Clay McKenna, and I have a horrible tendency to smile in incredibly uncomfortable situations. I just was told that one of my coworkers was fired, and I like had to hide my face because I was just smiling, and I'm like, what the hell? Like, I'm sad, but like my default reaction is this weird, uncomfortable smile. Please help me figure out why.
Hello?
Hi, Clay. It's Flora from ELT.
Hi, Flora.
I have to warn you, though, if my voice sounds funny, I was in an accident at my dentist's office.
Oh, my God. What?
I know. And several of my teeth didn't make it.
Oh, my God. That's like straight out of my nightmares. I'm so sorry. And per my question, I'm smiling like I look like you just told me a joke.
Okay. Well, I did, actually.
Okay, thank God.
Okay, so is this representative of the problem?
Yes. Like someone tells me something deeply uncomfortable or I hear bad news and like in my head I'm sad and it's like this, oh my God. And then my body takes over and my mouth just smiles.
Yeah, goofy grin.
Yes. I jokingly call it my Patrick Bateman from American Psycho trait, where I'm just like full happy grin. Like if you were to take a picture, you'd be like, oh my gosh, that girl just won the lottery.
How long have you done this?
I think a long time. I mean, I think I've realized it more in this profession where I'm a lawyer that I work with people who plan their estates, administer the estates of someone who's passed away.
You're an estate lawyer?
Yes. So I deal with death and taxes. And it's so bad when I like go into court, I need to not be in fear that the judge and my client are going to be like, why are you smiling right now when we're probating someone's estate?
Have people noticed you doing this?
I think they have. Like there's one situation where my best friend, like my maid of honor, she's had this cat that she adopted who is older, spent so much money trying to help this cat, has had so many health issues, has been her best friend, like her pet buddy, and recently was like, I think I'm going to have to put him down, and we're at a coffee shop. And I was like, don't do it. Don't smile, don't smile, don't smile. And I was like, I've just perfected the hand over my mouth, kind of look down, pretend to look sad, but like under my hand is this weird grin. And then in my head, I'm like, what is wrong with you? That your first reaction is to like smile. And deep down, like I'm mad at myself and I'm sad and I don't know how to react. And it's just this bad cycle.
So it's stressful.
Yes.
So what do you want to know? What can we do for you today?
I would love to know why I do this. Like, what is it about me that can't process or has this messed up reaction to other people's bad news? And ideally, how to stop it?
All right, Clay. We found someone who can help with your chagrin grin.
Yeah, this is what I study.
Oh my gosh. She studies this?
Yeah, I'm trained as a social psychologist. And My main interest is in emotion and its expression.
Clay, I want to introduce you to mouth mixologist, Dr. Oriana Aragon.
Hi, Clay.
Hi, Oriana.
Oriana told us that what you've been experiencing has a name.
Yeah, it's called the dimorphous expression of emotion.
Dimorphous expression of emotion?
Yes, it's kind of a mouthful.
Yes, it is.
We're going to call it DEE, just for ease.
Okay, DEE.
So Oriana told us that DEE is when your outside expression doesn't match how you're feeling on the inside.
Sounds about right.
So in your case, you may be feeling genuinely sad, but you look happy. There's a mismatch between how you're feeling and how you look like you're feeling.
Exactly.
And a down-in-the-dumps delighted face isn't the only form of DEE. People's emotions and expressions get mismatched all the time in all sorts of ways, Oriana says.
There's an expression of pain when something is really good. Think of biting into like the most delicious dessert and you almost like are in pain. It's so good.
Oh, yes. I can picture biting into like a really good chocolate chip cookie and it's almost this like, oh, longing. Yes.
And then you can also get cute aggression. So you might, you know, see gnashing of teeth, growling, biting, pinching.
Oh my gosh. When like sometimes I see like a cute puppy, I'm like, oh my God, I just want to squeeze you.
Right? Those aren't things that you normally associate with, you know, gentle, tender care.
Okay, so this resonates.
Yes. And also cute aggression is now one of my new favorite terms.
There's also tears of joy.
I just assume that's normal, but maybe this is one of these weird DEE reactions.
Yeah, big DEE. So Oriana's been trying to understand these mismatched expressions and why they happen. And she says most of the data we have is about things like bursting into happy tears or cute aggression, reactions that look negative even when people feel positive. Mm-hmm. And that's because it's pretty easy to make people feel good in a lab.
What I found was that cute bunnies and things or cute kittens really bring about strong positive emotions without a lot of work and without a lot of backstory.
Yes. You wouldn't even have to pay me. Yes, show me cute pictures of animals and ask me questions. Happily do that.
Getting people to feel sad in the lab can be trickier, so we don't know as much about your particular form of DEE. But Oriana has looked into it. She gave a questionnaire to hundreds of people about their expressions, and she asked participants whether they smile when they're sad. And her results may surprise you.
43.7% of people agreed with the statement, "If I'm very sad, I might raise the corners of my mouth like a smile, even though there's nothing to smile about." So this might fall into Clay's category, right?
43%.
43.7%, yeah.
I'm not alone? Oh my gosh. I'm very surprised. I mean, that's a huge percentage.
Oriana told us that that could actually be an underestimate because it only includes the people who self-report that they do this. People could be doing it and not realizing it.
Interesting.
And Oriana actually has evidence that this is the case. She did a study where she showed people sad clips from movies and filmed them.
And in those video recordings, people did smile spontaneously. And after the movie clip ended, the survey would pop up on the screen in front of them and it would ask them, you know, how are you feeling right now?
And a lot of people said, yeah, they felt sad. And then they got a question asking if they had smiled.
And what would happen is they would report that, no, I didn't smile. So a lot of times when folks smiled spontaneously, they weren't aware that they had done it.
Wow. So this sounds like a human condition.
Yeah.
Does she have any idea what causes this DEE, this mismatch?
Like why?
Yes.
Her theory is that these facial flip-flops aren't just front-facing faux pas. They're actually communicating something extra, some like complexity or nuance that a straightforward frown or smile might not.
Interesting. Does she have any idea what that nuance is or any ideas about my chagrin grin?
Yeah. it could be that that smile during that negative scenario signals to others that you're open for them to approach you, maybe for comfort, maybe to distract you from whatever sadness is going on for you.
Like maybe that smile is a way of subconsciously signaling, hey, I'm open to continuing this tough conversation.
That makes sense. That actually makes sense for me, at least. I am very much like I feel other people's feelings. Like maybe it's my subconscious being like, talk more, confide in me more. I'm open to this. The puzzle pieces are fitting together.
Whatever the reason, Oriana says that smiling when you get bad news is pretty common.
Definitely, Clay, you're not alone. And what you need to know is that this is normal. A lot of people report that they do this uncontrollably. It's more our social norms that say, well, you're supposed to frown or have a sad face when you're not feeling well.
Oriana's saying that the heavy-hearted happy face, it just doesn't have the cultural acceptance of other DWEs, like cute aggression or tears of joy. But that doesn't mean it's weird or wrong or bad.
Oh my God, I can feel relief just washing over me right now.
Okay, so now we have some ideas about why this happens. What else are you still wondering?
I wonder if there's a way to tamp it down.
I think we can help with that, too.
Oh, my God, yes.
After the break, how to keep a straight face when your friend's cat goes to a better place.
Those lines always get me. They're the best.
Life is a highway. And on it, there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
All right, so Clay, to help you overcome your inconvenient smile, we looked for someone with some expertise in stifling smiles. Someone who might be able to teach you how to do it.
Oh my gosh, I'm so curious.
We found just the person. Let's start with an introduction. Tell me your name.
Jacques Bailey.
Definition, please.
Jacques Bailey is me.
Can you use it in a sentence?
Jacques Bailey is currently petting his dog.
Jacques Bailey is the chief pronouncer for the Scripps National Spelling Bee.
Prosopopeia.
P-R-O-S.
This is the Super Bowl of spelling bees.
A generous guerdon to each supporter.
Guerdon. G-U-E-R-D-O-N.
Correct.
It happens once a year in Washington, D.C., and Jacques is the queen bee.
Yeah. So, you know the guy at the spelling bee who gives the words? That's me.
That's amazing.
Jacques is the one talking to and interacting with the celebrity spellers.
All the spellers are called celebrities when they get to D.C.
That's very cute.
And as you might guess, a nationwide competition of tweens is filled with moments where you want to smile, but you really shouldn't.
Yeah, keeping a straight face is very important for me at the spelling bee because you don't want to give them a hint and you don't want to throw them off track. And also, if they do misspell, they have to finish the word. And if they know that they've misspelled, it can become fairly hard. So it's a matter of not showing it in your face, not going, oh, you know, or flinching.
That makes so much sense. Like, he can't give anything away when they're hemming and hawing up there, or if they miss a silent G.
That's right. So it's a lot of pressure, and Jacques needs to control how his face looks.
I need to go into something like airplane mode or no reaction mode. My ideal expression is fairly neutral, but on the cheerful and positive side.
Like a smize, like smiling with your eyes.
Yeah. And it's a skill to always be paying attention to what your expression is.
And this skill has been put to the test. I want to tell you about one of the most notorious moments in Spelling Bee Hivestory, a moment that really tested Jacques' command of the smize. It happened back in 2008.
So we were quite a ways into the competition, and it was clear we had really good spellers up there, and Samir comes up to the mic.
Mir Mishra returns.
And the word is numna. So he comes up to the mic. I pronounce the word.
Numna.
Everybody starts laughing.
What?
And he kind of does a double take. And then he, you know, as a good speller will, tries to pronounce it back. And he says,
numnut.
The old numnut incident of 2008.
That's amazing.
But it was very important to like, you know, keep a straight face, not burst out laughing myself, because that would just kind of encourage the chaos.
Yeah, what was the worst thing that could happen? Like, what were you trying to avoid?
I think I was trying to avoid making it an even bigger deal or more embarrassing for anybody. People pick up on anything that's a little sensational, and I don't like giving them an opportunity to pick on a speller. So I had to very quickly get his attention and pull him back and get the audience and him to focus on numna.
Numna is a felt or sheepskin pad placed between a horse's back and the saddle to prevent chafing. Can I say it and then you say it?
Yeah.
Numna.
Oh, numna. That's a relief. Numna. N-U-M-N-A-H. Numna.
When you saw this word on the list, were you like, oh, shit?
No, not at all. Numna. There's nothing about it that seems, you know, untoward. We have had words in the past that you probably shouldn't give grade school kids.
Such as?
Well, titillation.
Mm-hmm.
Or morass.
But numna got through.
Every once in a while, one does. But he just heard the word wrong.
But it is close.
Oh, very close, yeah. And for some people, you know, they don't do their T's crisply as T's. They don't say butter. They might say butter. Or, you know, maybe they have, you know, a donut instead of a donut.
Right. So numnut for them is a numnut.
Exactly.
Like, give me that donut numnut.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Samir went on to win the Spelling Bee that year. He is the 2008 Scripps National Spelling Bee champ.
Go Samir. That's amazing.
Okay, so let's get to the expert coaching you're after.
Okay, what can the queen bee tell me to stifle my chagrin grin?
When I really need to keep a straight face and I find it hard, I think of an image.
What image?
I don't know if this works for everybody. But I had a teacher who told me whenever, because she was given to laughter and she laughed at people and laughed at things. She would just laugh, laugh, laugh. And she told me that what she thought of was a knife slicing bread.
What?
A knife slicing bread.
Yeah. To her, that seemed like the most ordinary, boring thing, and it wasn't funny at all.
It was neutral.
Yeah. And that would just center her and pull her back, and she didn't find it funny.
A knife slicing bread. I don't think that'll do.
That's not for you.
That's not for me, because then I'll be hungry. I love bread.
Okay, well, Jacques has another image that he uses that might inspire you more.
Yeah, so I think of my children when they were young. You know, when you watch like a four-year-old and they're just kind of moving around playing, and it's a kind of quiet way, just an ordinary day. That's what I think of.
Hmm.
Not my children as, you know, teenagers or...
breaking curfew, smoking cigarettes.
Yeah, just... you know, like the family picture that you got of the cute little kid, you know?
Yeah.
That's the picture you want to have.
I'm thinking of a picture of my dog right now. Like, I can picture it's this photo of him, like, sitting on a chair, kind of looking up at the camera with this kind of like, hey, mom face. He's very calm and mellow. It's just like very relaxing.
Hmm. It brings you peace.
Yes.
All right. Let's try this out. I want you to imagine that you're back in that conversation with your friend who's telling you about her cat.
Okay.
She's really upset and she's explaining how this cat, you know, who's been such a big part of her life, is at the end. She's going to have to say goodbye.
Oh my God, it worked.
Really?
Yeah. I thought about the image and it was kind of like a cold, like almost like mental bucket of water. I actually, honestly, it's kind of like a calming thing. It's not a cure-all, but I think this will actually work.
That feels like progress.
Yes, you did everything I asked. Thank you. You confirmed that I'm not severely flawed and gave me an awesome tool to tamp down the killer smile when bad news happens. Next time I have a weird conversation, I'm just going to think of my dog in my head.
If you have a question you can't find an answer to, you've looked on the internet, you've asked your friends, call us, 833-RING-ELT.
This episode was produced by Carla Javier, Adley Robinson, Stephanie Werner, Phoebe Flanagan, Annette Heist, and Flora Lichtman, with help from Doug Barron and Jonah Delso. Our editors were Jorge Just and Caitlin Kenny. Nicole Pasulka is our fact checker. Music by Katherine Anderson, Bobby Lord, and Emma Munger, mixed by Enoch Kim. Every Little Thing is a Gimlet production and a Spotify original podcast. Numbnut. 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 Goodbye.